Boker Tov, Shavua Tov, Ishtabach Shemo, Baruch Hashem. In Yiddish we say a gesunte winter, healthy winter, Baruch Hashem. The Parashat Bereshit is really the bridge that that connects the Chagim with the rest of the year. The Chagim, Chodesh Tishri, is really a surreal time, the most surreal time in the Jewish calendar. It's like living kind of in a fantasy. Between Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, Yom Kippurim, Sukkot, Simchat Torah, all these things, and then all of a sudden, Motzei Simchat Torah, boom, you get sucked in the face, and you're back to life. So it's a little bit difficult. Minhag Yisrael, very interesting. The poskim bring down, you know, that in general, there's many shuls have a special parochet for the Yamim Nuraim. Why? So it's the minhag is also in Ta'amei Minhagim. He says also to leave on that parochet for Shabbat Bereshit. After Shabbat Bereshit, you change back to the regular one. Because Bereshit is really that bridge that connects the, you know, now we're back to life. Everybody goes back to work and back to learning and back to life.
Honey?
Yeah,
for the bread. It's molten honey.
Over.
Until when do you do the honey?
Different shitot. Kaf Chaim brings down until Shmini Atzeret. Until the end of Chaget Tishrei. Until the end of Chagim Shalom. Honey is a different thing. According to the Ben Ish Chai and according to Mkubalim, honey is never a good idea, especially not during
Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. Salt and powdered
sugar. Sugar. Especially not during Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. Honey is gold. Gold represents din. Din zelotov. Sugar is white. White represents chasadim. Chasadim, rachamim, the kachaya yoter tov. But anyway, Lam Shane, that's why Ben Ish Chai says no apples and honey on Rosh Hashanah. We spoke about this. Zelotov. Minag Ashkenazim. But it's not, you don't have to make sugar. Sugar. Cook the apples in sugar. Take the apples before, put in a little sugar, put in a pot, cook it.
No.
Huh? During Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. You don't have any dinim during Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. So, anyway, you know, listen to me. Yeah, you'll know for next year, Altidag. Yeah? Now you have to, now you had honey, now you have to do tshuva. Now, Bekitzer, yeah, you have to, listen carefully. In Sefer Bereshit, Sefer Bereshit is jam-packed of all of the things that will ever happen to Am Yisrael throughout history, because as the Ramban writes several places in Sefer Bereshit, Ma'aseh Avot Siman Abanim, whatever happened to the Avot will eventually happen dor achar dor to all of their children. But the Sefer Bereshit is, you know, for the same price that it's jam-packed with all of these ideas and concepts that we derive so much in Yirat Shamayim, Sefer Bereshit contains the least mitzvot in all of the Torah, relative to the other Sfarim of the Torah. How many mitzvot do we have in the entire Sefer Bereshit?
One. Three.
Three mitzvot. Zeo. Three mitzvot altogether. One mitzvot, two mitzvot aseh, one mitzvot lo ta'aseh. What are they? Parashat Bereshit has mitzvot pirev rivya. Okay? Then you have Parashat Lech Lecha at the end, where you have mitzvot mila. Then you have Parashat Veishlach, mitzvot lo ta'aseh of Gidan Nasheh. Right, that's the sciatic nerve that's asur to consume. That was by Yaakov Avinu. That's it. All of the mitzvot in Sefer Bereshit, only three. Zakol. Parashat Bereshit, it seems a little bit misleading. Many poskim point out the Minchat Chinuch. In the very first mitzvah in the Torah, Pirya B'Rivya, such an important mitzvah. The entire world was created for Pirya B'Rivya. It's mitzvah Aseh Min HaTorah. Not only that, there's also a rabbinic law that's learned out from the Nevi'im. Like the Navi says in Yeshaya, Lo tohu v'ra'ah l'shevet yitzara, which means the Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't create the world to be desolate. He created the world in order to procreate, to inhabit, to fill the world with people. Now, even though the mitzvah of Pirya B'Rivya was given to whom? Mitzvah of Pirya B'Rivya was given to two people. Who? Nope. Chava was patur. It's only mitzvah on men. That's learned out. It's a Gemara. Masechet Kiddushin. Dav Bet Amud Bet. What does the Gemara say? Meforash. How do we know that it's only mitzvah on men and not on women? Because the Torah says, Peru urvu umil'u et ha'aretz vechivshuha. Conquer it. Says the Gemara, vechimi darko lichbosh. Who? Yeah. It's only men conquer. So the mitzvah is only on men. The mitzvah was given to two people. Once in Parashat Bereshit, once in Parashat Noach. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the mitzvah to Adam Rishon, and then after the world was wiped out, after Noach came out of the Teva, once again, Kadosh Baruch Hu, even though it was a bracha, but it was also tzivui on Noach, once again, peru urvu umil'u et ha'aretz. Kadosh Baruch Hu told Noach to procreate. So the mitzvah was given to Adam and Noach. What was the common denominator between Adam and Noach? They both were not blank. What's that? Jewish. Adam and Noah weren't Jews. They weren't part of, they were tzaddikim, they're not Jews. Yeah, they didn't, there's no, they weren't B'nai Israel. So now, that being said, question becomes, hey, wait, is the Argoim obligated in the mitzvah of Pirev Rivia?
Yes.
No, it's not a mitzvah.
One of the seven, one of the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, even though there are other laws that aren't in Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach that they're chayav for, but nowhere do we find that Goyim are obligated in Mitzvah of Pirev Rivia. Whether or not they're included in the edict of Lo Tov Ra'ah, which means not to allow the world to be desolate, that's a different story. But certainly, Goyim are not obligated in the Mitzvah of Pirev Rivia, which would seem a little bit interesting because the mitzvah was given to, well, not goyim chas v'shalom, but to people who weren't part of Am Yisrael. Adam and Noah weren't part of Am Yisrael. So Minchat Chinuch discusses this in Mitzvah Aleph, and he says, you're right, before Matan Torah, the mitzvah of Pirav Rivia belonged to everyone, including to goyim. However, once Matan Torah came around, there were many mitzvot, including Pirav Rivia, that were removed from the rest of the goyim and attached only to Am Yisrael. Pirev Rivia is one of those mitzvot. Once Matan Torah came along, Pirev Rivia was given specifically to Am Yisrael. Not to say that goyim don't have sachar for inhabiting the world. They're also, you know, if only Jews would procreate and goyim would not, the world would be desolate. The world would be empty. So it's also, but begeder mitzvah and chiyuv, that's only mitzvah that was given to Am Yisrael. Yepe. Now, with regards to the parameters of the mitzvah, there's a mishnah in Masechet Yevamot. Daf Samach Aleph Amud Bet. The Gemara brings down a machloket Bet Shammai Vet Hillel, how to fulfill this mitzvah. Shitat Bet Shammai. How does a person fulfill this mitzvah? No.
One kid.
Two boys? No. Yeah. Two boys or two girls. Two children. Doesn't matter. Even if it's the same gender, Bet Shammai says you're yotze. Bet Hillel disagree. Bet Hillel say, no, it has to be Zachar Unkeva, which means male and female. How do they know? They learned that from Pasuk in this week's parasha. It says, Zachar Unkeva Bera'am. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man as Zachar Unkeva. You see that you don't have Adam without Zachar Unkeva, and therefore you're not Yotze in any other way. That is that. Now, interestingly, the Minchat Chinuch makes another very interesting observation. How is Pirev Rivia different than any other mitzvah in the Torah? There's one underlying difference between Pirav Rivia and every other mitzvah. What's that?
It can become undone, no?
Well, that,
children pass away.
That's true. But there's another underlying difference in that he says any other mitzvah, the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah is the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Which means, what's the action of tefillin?
Putting it on.
And what's the mitzvah of tefillin? Putting it on. Lulav. Taking the lulav is the action. Taking the lulav is the mitzvah. Pirav Rivia doesn't work like that. Pirav Rivia, there's a disconnect between the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah and the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Yeah? Which is, what's the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah? The hechsher mitzvah, which is man, you know, the only way we can do it is the hechsher mitzvah, the bi'ah being together. That's the only way we can do it. And then what's the kiyuma mitzvah? Kiyuma mitzvah is actually having the children, which is not, again, not to say that anything else is in our control, but this is even less in our control than any other mitzvah. There's a disconnect. Whereas by other mitzvot, the ma'aseh and kiyum of the mitzvah are one. By Pirav Rivia, the ma'aseh and kiyum of mitzvah are different. Now, not to say that if a person wasn't mekayim, says, okay, I'm done. No. The Rambam says, meforash, as the Shulchan Aruch, that a person is constantly chayav to keep trying to do the mitzvah, even if he wasn't mekayim, until he just can't anymore, until he dies. It's mitzvah to continue until he fulfills the mitzvah. Now, interestingly, if a person, so what is the kiyuma mitzvah? What's the fulfillment of the mitzvah? And we hold, obviously, like Bet Hillel, the mitzvah is Zachar Unkeva. That's the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Now, there is another mitzvah. Even when a person's older and he has children, Zachar Unkeva, there's a mitzvah of V'la'erev al tanach yadecha, which means that even when you're older, there's a mitzvah, even after you've fulfilled the basic mitzvah of Pirav Rivia, there's a mitzvah to even bring more children. As we'll speak about in a moment, are there differences between these two mitzvot? But, in general, Another parameter of the mitzvah is, like somebody brought up before, that the mitzvah can be undone, which means the mitzvah of Pirav Rivya is only fulfilled, yes, when you have a son and a daughter, but even more so, how is really the mitzvah fulfilled? Person has to die while leaving a son and a daughter in the world. Which means bar minan. If a person had a son and daughter, and a person lived out his children, which means chas v'shalom, a person's children died in his lifetime, what's the halacha? Unfortunately, he was not yotzei the mitzvah, because in order to finally be yotzei the mitzvah, a person has to depart the world while leaving. Now again, if a person dies, and then 5 minutes later his children die, what's the halacha? He's yotzei, because at the... Everybody's children die at some point.
What do you mean that you have to have grandchildren?
Nope. Yeah,
what gain did you get out of it? Is it your kid's kid?
One second. That's a different... Whoa, hold on. There is no shita that says that you need to have grandchildren in order to fulfill the mitzvah. That's not true. If a person dies with leaving a boy and a girl in the world, and those children aren't... It's not a saris, it's not ailonit, which means they are able to procreate. They are able to have children. A person was yotzei the mitzvah. What you're talking about, the Gemara speaks about Daf Samach Bet and Yevamot, b'nei banim areim kevanim, which means there are certain situations where even if the person leaves this world without children, there are ways he can be yotzei the mitzvah even with grandchildren. How? Yeah. So this is a machloket, how to understand the Gemara between the Rambam and Tosafot. Listen carefully.
If you have only girls, if you have three girls,
yeah,
okay, and they have boys. Mm-hmm. So that's how it works. No?
According to the Rambam, no. Listen carefully. Let's say a person, over there the halacha is that he's not yotzei whatsoever. What happens if a person had a boy and a girl? Okay? And chas v'shalom, they died. But they left over children in the world. The halacha is that if they, let's say, both the boy, the son and the daughter who passed away in the, what we'll call... You know, grandfather, grandpa, son and daughter, and then grandchildren. They died. Yeah, the son and the daughter, they died. Grandpa wants to know if he was yotzei pirav rivya. What are the criteria that have to be met for grandpa to be yotzei pirav rivya? Listen carefully.
That's the criteria to have grandchildren.
Really? Oh.
So he's still alive, right?
So huh?
He's good. He's still alive.
Grandpa's alive and grandchildren are alive. So the Rambam understands that as it doesn't matter the gender of the grandchildren, as long as each of his children left over progeny before they died, grandpa is yotzei pirav rivya, which means, let's say, each one, he had a son and a daughter. The son, huh? Even if both of them had sons, or both of them had daughters, and it doesn't matter, but each one brought a child, the halacha is, as long as those grandchildren came mikoach, Zachar unkeva, says the Rambam in Maran HaShulchan Aruch, grandpa is yotzei pirav rivya. Okay? Verstehst? Now, here's the thing. What happens the other way around? Let's say grandpa only had two boys, or grandpa only had two girls. These two boys or two girls died bar minan, but they left over a whole, they left ishtabach shemo, boys, girls, between both of them. What's the halacha? The Rambam says, lo yotzei d'chova. Why? Because once again, the Rambam says we ignore the genders of the grandchildren. Who are we focused on? The genders of the children that died. It has to be mikoach zachar unkeva. Tosafot, Bash, and Ham in Siman Aleph of Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezer disagree. The Tosafot say no. Even we don't only focus on the genders of the children that passed away. We focus even on the genders of the grandchildren, which means even if the children who died were zachar v'zachar, as long as they brought into the world zachar unkeva, what's the halacha? Yetzu yidechova.
Why does it matter if they died?
What do you mean?
They had two boys.
Yeah.
They had boy and girl each.
No, because when the children are still alive, so that's the mitzvah. Now, b'nei vanim harem kevanim, the grandchildren can take the place of the children when they're no longer here. Now, That's with regards to that. Interesting machloket. What about, says the Rambam, what's the halacha about a gir? Yeah, what's the halacha? A gir, a goy, came to become a Jew, and he converted. Now, he had children when he was a goy. Is there an obligation on a newly converted ger to bring more children into the world post-conversion? Or can we factor in the children that he had when he was a goy? Huh? Oh, that's the question. So yes, like Moshe is saying, he did the mitzvah of loto bera'ah, he did the mitzvah of inhabiting the world when he was a goy, but the mitzvah of pirav riviyah, he didn't. Huh?
Anymore,
but let me ask you a question. Were they his kids when he was a goy?
No.
Yes.
Yes, but now.
Yes, because by goyim, whereas Jews are always mityaches after their mother, goyim are mityaches after the father. And the halacha is, therefore, that did he have legitimate children when he was a goy? Yes. And therefore, those children are his with regards to lashevet. Now, what about with regards to the mitzvah of pirav riviyah? Says the Rambam in Maran HaShulchan Aruch, once again, another machloket between Rambam and Tosfot. The Rambam says the only way we can consider these children to be part of his account, we'll call it pirav riviyah account, when he converts, is only if the children come to convert with him. If he brings them into the fold along with him. Now, even though it's interesting that after they convert, what is now the status? What's the connection between father and children? Garnished, because the Gemara says, ger shenolad kekatan, a ger shenitgayer kekatan shenolad dami, which means that when a ger converts, there is absolutely no connection at all. Which means, according the Rabbanan said not to, huh?
Can marry his daughter,
can marry his mother, according to Torah law. The Chachamim said not to do that because the kids come out potatoes. So, mikol makom, yeah, no la'asot kacha. Yeah, mikol makom, so now you don't do such stuff. Aval, mikol makom, that's not exactly what the Chachamim said it, it's because lo yomru, that's not the reason. The reason for it is because the Chachamim said, lo yavu mikdusha kala lekdusha chamura. Say, one second, when he was a goy, is a goy allowed to marry his mother? No. Now you're telling me what? After he converted and he became more kadosh, now he's allowed to marry his mother? They're going to say, whoa, what's going on? The Chachamim said, none of that. Yeah? So now...
What about Yichud and like touching?
Rav Moshe has actually a tshuva about that. He says it's mutar. Because Yichud has to do with biological ta'ava. So even as a person will never have, even though there's no halacha connection, but a person doesn't have a ta'ava for his biological mother. A person doesn't have a ta'ava for his biological, all the krovim. That, yeah.
If he got married, do we force him to divorce?
Who?
A goy, mm-hmm. Man, yeah. Insisted that got here.
Yes.
Do we force him to divorce?
Yes, because he was over on the Ben Chachamim. Yeah.
Does the familial aspect apply if the kids and the parents become gerim separately at different times?
No. Yes, according to the Rambam, they have to come convert together as a family, which means the mother doesn't matter because the mother is not mitzvah and pirav riviyah. Says the Rambam in Maran Shulchan Aruch, in order for the father, this ger, to be mekayem mitzvat pirav riviyah with his goyish children, they have to come and convert together. Otherwise, if they don't, the Rambam says he has to bring more children as a Jew, now as a ger. Huh? So? No, if they come together, they're able to be moche when they get older, but at the end of the day, right now, until they're moche, they're still considered gerim. Yeah.
If a goyish woman is pregnant,
yeah,
ninth month,
mm-hmm.
and she converts at that time,
mm-hmm.
you have to wait, the
child is Jewish.
The
mother's tevilah, the Gemara says that the mother's tevilah works for the fetus as well. And he does not need a separate conversion. The mother's, whereas if she already gave birth, then the child would require a separate conversion. That's what the Gemara calls horato shelo bikdusha veledato bikdusha, which means the baby was conceived as a goy, but born as a Jew. Yeah, that's the Gemara calls it.
The boy, the malach teach him Torah for the first month he did?
I guess he's going to have to catch up real quick. Yeah. In the womb and with Malachim, there's no concept of time. There's no, you know, all these things are spiritual matters. So it makes sense that, I don't know. It's a good question. Now,
a male Jew,
okay.
Married, had wedlock with a Jewish woman.
And there's no wedlock. That's Ginnam. Okay, yeah.
The woman's pregnant and they all decide they want to convert.
halachically or whatever it is.
No.
Does that newborn, is that considered his...
garnished. It's considered his garnished. How you say itchy?
The woman.
How you say nothing in Persian? Itchy?
Itchy.
Itchy. Itchy. Right, it's his itchy.
Yeah, he says... converts halachically, let's say.
Maze?
The woman converts halachically. That still one of his...
garnished. Zero connection ever. It's the no connection whatsoever to a person's child that comes from a goya or a shifcha. Zero connection to him ever. Zero. Now, even if he converts, what he converts? Brand new Jew. Nothing to do with him. Nothing.
He has the blood of father, like mother, bones of the dad, looks like the dad or the mom.
Enter laws of the Torah, and the Torah is stronger than blood, the Torah is stronger than bones, the Torah is stronger than everything.
Logically, yes, but not by the
end. Look at how much Torah is. He has the blood from the dad.
Which means after the kid converts, he goes over, he says, "Hi, Dad, I love you." And then, Bifnei Edim, he says, L'shem Yichud, he whacks him and he's motzi dam from the guy. Chayav mita or lo chayav mita? Lo chayav mita. Yeah?
No. Say,
because the kid's already formed. The kid's already done. The kid already has zero yechus.
No.
No.
I mean the link between the two goyim. The goy who converts with his goy, with his son.
Nothing.
No, we said that. If
that's with regards... There's no link halachically. Just with regards to his cheshbon of mitzvat. Piriyav rivya. That's the only thing. That's it. With there's a special halacha for mitzvat pirav rivya that he's yotzei like that. Now,
the Jew marrying the woman converting, the Jewish Goyish woman converting to Judaism.
No.
And she's pregnant. Does that child count for his pirav rivya?
No. No.
Well, how we don't send that link?
Because he's a Jew. The only time we say we're talking about a Goy who had a legitimate kid with a Goy. Can a Goy have children with Goya?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it his kid? Yeah, that's the difference. A goy with a goya, it's his son. A Jew with a goya, even if they convert later, not his son. Garnished. Understand? Now, as follows. There's another...
But he's saying, what if she was bearing the kid and she converted before she gave birth?
That's wonderful. That's a wonderful thing.
He didn't mekayim.
No, nothing.
He was Jewish, right?
He was mekayim zera levatela. No, mamash.
He didn't do both sides when they were Jewish.
Exactly. Yeah, mamash. That child is considered just zera levatana. Huh? Yeah. Now, as follows, listen carefully. There's another instance that the Shulchan Aruch brings down. What about everything we've been speaking about as a person is yotzei the mitzvah with a legitimate kid? What happens if a guy has an illegitimate child? Which means, let's say a person has a mamzer. Person, in order to, we know there's a famous mishnah in Yevamot Daf Mem Tetamud Aleph. What qualifies? Or what can produce, there's a machloket tanaim, what produces a mamzer?
Illicit relationship.
Oh, that's a wonderful term, but talk to me halachics. What produces a mamzer?
Aunt, nephew, right?
Machloket tanaim, Rabbi Akiva versus Shim'on HaTimni. Yeah, we hold, the Gemara says, lo Shim'on HaTimni, ze lo nechon. Shim'on HaTimni was from Timnat. Yeah, he says over there, halacha is, the only thing that can produce mamzerim is... relationships of chiyuve karet and above. What's above chiyuve karet? Chiyuve mita. Anything that's karet and above produces mamzerim. For instance, eshet ish, mita, mamzerim. Achoto, karet, mamzerim. All of the things that the Torah says, karet and above, mamzerim. One exception, there's one relationship of chiyuve karet that does not produce a mamzer. Manasseh, huh? No, that's not karet. That's lav.
Nida.
That's chala. Oh, nida. Nida is a chiyuv karet. Can you imagine if all of the children in Am Yisrael that were born to mothers who were nidot were mamzerim? Do you know what kind of catastrophe that would do to Am Yisrael? However, we don't. Halakha is not decided because of what catastrophes could be. But the one second, Baba. Now he says, the Gemara says, where do we learn out that Nida is the exception? The Gemara says, in Masechet Kiddushin, Daf Samach Dalet Amud Bet, the Gemara says, Nida, he. What does Nida mean? He He behavayata tehe, which means the formula the Gemara says for producing mamzerim is anytime kiddushin is not tofes, anytime there a kiddushin doesn't work between man and woman as a result of the karet, that relationship creates a mamzer. For instance, if you give kiddushin to your sister, does that work? No. Therefore what? A relationship with her would beget a mamzer. However, even though the only exception of all of the kritut where kiddushin doesn't work, there's only one chayave kritut that kiddushin does work. What's that? Nida. If a person gives kiddushin to a nida, what's the halacha? Mekudeshet. Therefore, says the Gemara, since kiddushin is tofes in a nida, there's also no mamzerut. Now, therefore, Baruch Hashem, Shtabach Shemo.
Huh? What's wrong with giving kiddushin to a nida?
Nothing. No, there's nothing wrong. It works. And therefore, the formula is, since kiddushin to isha nida works, there's also no mamzer from isha nida. Not to chas v'shalom permit a union with an isha nida. But if a person had a union with isha nida, the valad is not mamzer. Few. Yeah. Now, therefore, they're not mamzerim. The valad is pagum. Yeah, Yoen? The valad is pagum means blemished. It's not a geshmaka thing, but...
You can tap on your fingers if somebody has shalom as one...
Fingers?
Yeah. On the size of your finger.
Size of the fingers.
Matching it to different finger size, you can tell.
What's an afkamina?
I don't... Huh?
What's an afkamina?
A person is would be well within his rights if a person does not want to marry a ben or bat hanida. That's...
Huh?
No, let's say you know that the parents weren't religious or whatever. It's not a heter. Everybody, not everybody, but many people misquote Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe has a tshuva saying why a limud zechut on possibly how even those that weren't makpid about shmirat tarat mishpacha, how possibly sometimes it could work out that their children are not b'nei anida. He's not saying that they're all not b'nei anida because the... I'm not getting into it now. It doesn't mean, because according to that, if you, there's no such thing as b'nei nida anymore. Everyone. No, that's not what he's saying. Now, that being said, a person would be well within his rights. It says, you know, a person gets a shiduch and he finds out that they weren't shomer Torah mitzvot. It's not, we wouldn't call it a shtut to say, I don't want to marry him or her because they are ben or bat anida. That's not a shtut. That's a legitimate concern. Now, not to say, huh? Oh, so there's no way to fully make you not ben or bat anida. If a person is, he is. Now, that being said, there are, Agon of Shmuel Zalman Auerbach has a tshuva. He says that if a person is chozer b'tshuva and the boy went to yeshiva and the girl went to Beis Yaakov and they're mitchanech b'derech haTorah, that helps a little bit to be mitaken et hapegan. It doesn't make it go away, but it fixes it a lot. And that's a good thing. So again.
That's it?
Huh?
Else?
What?
Nothing they can do?
Huh?
Their kids are...
No? No. They're not. No. Mamzerut continues. Pigamer of Ben or Bat Anida does not continue. If they're Shomer Tarat HaMishpacha, their children will not be Ben or Bat Anida. Huh? Yeah. We're kosher. Yeah.
It's like one of the only, I guess, you're doing a sin, but it's a mitzvah at the same time. Isn't there such a thing? Like,
I lost you.
You're doing a sin.
Of?
The nida.
Yeah.
It's a sin.
Where's the mitzvah? I lost you. Whoa, one second. Hold on. You're jumping the gun. Because, what about, this is where I was going. What about an actual mamzer? A person had a relationship with one of the arayot that's not nida, and he brought a mamzer to the world. Okay? Now that's a big, big no-no. He did a tremendous isur. Will that child, post facto, he's chayav karet or chayav mitah or whatever else, whatever, he brought such a child into the world, can that child be included into the cheshbon of mitzvat piryav rivia or not?
No.
Mamzer.
No. So he can't marry a mamzer.
How so? No, call down Rahman. No, Torah said everybody agrees. He can't do it, and he didn't isur. Now, this kid is here.
But the Hashem doesn't want those people in the world, so it's not counted as the...
Time out. Time out. The guy said, let's say the guy was chozer b'tshuva shlema. He says, I'm never going to do it again. My question is, let's say it's a boy or a girl or whatever it is, how, in order to fulfill mitzvat pirav rivya, how many more children do I have to bring into the world? That's a shayla. No? Madino.
After this mom's here?
Yeah.
What happens if you bring two moms
here? Okay. Same question. Says Maran HaShulchan Aruch that a person is able to be yotzei, a person can count these mamzerim into the cheshbon of pirav rivya. Therefore, listen carefully. Why? What's the reason for that? If a person was with a goya and they had a baby, what do we say? Can that be considered for pirav rivya? No, because the kid is a goy, has nothing to do with him. But mamzer is mityache sachar aviv. A mamzer is a Jew. It's a full-fledged Jew. He has certain limitations about who he can and cannot marry, but it's a full Jew. He's mitzteref leminyan, so much so that the Gemara says Masechet Berachot with regards to Zimun and other such mitzvot, mamzer talmid chacham, kodem lekohen gadol am haaretz. Yeah, Bayit Sheni was full of kohanim gedolim am haaretzot, and the Gemara says it's a machloket. Huh? Less than a year, even. Because there's two opinions in the Gemara Masechet Yoma. How many kohanim gedolim there were during Bayit Sheni? Bayit Sheni stood for 420 years. Yeah, 10 years longer than Bayit Rishon. Some say 300 Kohanim Gedolim. Some say 600 Kohanim Gedolim. So, huh? Were active. That's because there was a lot of foilishtik during Bayit Sheni. They used to buy it, and they used to sell it, and they used to get all sorts of illegitimate Kohanim Gedolim. You have to wonder, these Kohanim Gedolim that made it and whatever, and they knew they weren't ra'ui. How are you not afraid? You see people dropping dead, you know, year after year going into Kodesh HaKodeshim. You got to think for a second.
Kavod.
Huh? What?
Kavod.
Yeah, but you know you're going to die. You see it. You see, it has nothing to do with that. The Yetzer Hara, there's a shmuz, I don't remember who said it, but there's the Dvar Musa you can take out of it is the Yetzer Hara, and it works this way in many, many different aspects of life. It won't happen to me. I'm immune.
There's such a thing. Korach, he said tomorrow we're going to do a test.
Yeah.
Only one is going to live.
Nahon.
And 240.
Yeah, everybody thought.
And Korach led his sons to come.
Yeah. The sons did tshuva.
Okay, but he
it's going to be me.
He knew that he's going to
I'm going to be the last man standing. It's always me. Yetzirah is a tremendous expert. One second. So a person is yotzeh with the mamzer, even though there is a the pitre tshuva. In Hilchot Mila, Siman Shamache brings down, you know, every time there's a Brit Mila, you say Mishaberach for the kid, you know, Mishaberach Botenu, you kaim te yel dezele avivul yimo, you pray for him, pray for the child to live. So he says, not always do you make that Mishaberach. For Mamzer, you don't. Why? Because we don't want Mamzerim to procreate. Why? What happens? Mamzerim, nachon, there's only two women that a Mamzer can marry, or a Mamzerit can marry. Who can a Mamzer marry? Either Mamzer can marry Mamzeret, or, no, not Shifcha, or Giorit. That's it. Huh? Shifcha Kena'anit. That's it. Not Shifcha Kena'anit, Asur. Why? Because she's like a Goya. Mamzer is Israel. He can only marry either a Mamzeret or a Giorit. That's it. No! Now, even when we say, yeah, somebody asked me yesterday, very interesting, Shiloh. One second. So now, but here's the thing. Even when a mamzer marries a woman that's permissible to him, no matter what he does, if he marries a woman who's mutar to him or a woman who's asur to him, what happens with the mamzerut? Mamzerut always continues forever.
Why giorit if she's fine?
Because there's two separate things. Marrying a woman that he's allowed to versus the children that come from that. The Gemara says, havalad holech achar pagum. When you have two spouses, the status of the child is always determined by the more blemished of the spouses. Now when a mamzer marries a giorit or a mamzeret, if they're mamzer and mamzeret, then they have the same pagum. If it's a mamzer and a giorit, what's the more pagum of the two? Mamzer. Mamzerut will always, always, always continue. It will never stop. Now,
forever.
Now, that being said, does a mamzer, knowing that this is...
Huh? So we still don't know who's a mamzer. Because we have... Do you know what's happening?
The Gemara says that's what we need Eliyahu Navi for. There's machloket rishonim. It's a machloket, very interesting machloket. Listen carefully. At the end of Masechet Kiddushin, the Ran brings down machloket between him and the Ramban. When Eliyahu Navi comes, Mashiach is going to come, Eliyahu Navi is going to round up Am Yisrael. There's certainly a lot of psulim in Am Yisrael, mamzerim and all sorts of other psulim. Is Eliyahu Navi going to separate the psulim from Am Yisrael proper? Or do we say that kivan hoil v'nitme'o nitme'o, which means once they were mixed into Am Yisrael and assumed for many generations to be ksherim, they'll stay like that. Machloket Rishonim. We'll have to see.
I have a question. Yeah. How does it count towards Kuru if Hashem doesn't never wanted this union in the first place? Right. He doesn't want the forget the fact that it's an abomination to be with someone's sister or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't. Not only does he not want that, he obviously doesn't want that because he doesn't want the product of that.
Okay.
So how is it added to Kuru? It's like you're giving yourself credit for doing something wrong.
Not credit. It's a different hezbon. It's a different thing altogether. Now, let me ask you a question. This kid came into the world. Not, we're not blaming the kid. A lot of people ask, why is it his fault? It's not his fault. We don't understand the laws of the Torah. The kid did nothing wrong. He's a product of other people's mistakes. And yet,
he
can't marry certain people. He's limited. That's the laws of the Torah. Can't help it. Now, let me ask you a question. When you see a mamzer, okay, and you say, you are a product of a forbidden thing, Hashem doesn't want you here. Are you allowed to kill him? Why? Hashem doesn't want him here. You allowed to kill him? Let it hurt him? Huh?
Wait, the kid?
The kid. The mamzer.
No.
Why?
What did he do wrong?
Because he's a Yid. Not because what did he do wrong? Because he's a Jew.
He didn't do anything wrong. It's not his fault. Right, but
yeah.
Why give the credit to the father?
But once you're making cheshbonot shamayim that Hashem doesn't want him here, shouldn't that give you license to kill?
No. I don't think so.
I'm asking you.
No.
I'm not worried.
So what's the answer?
Kid.
We don't make cheshbonot shamayim.
The kid's here.
Yeah.
But why give the credit to the father? That's what
true. He gets a mitzvah out of it.
Why is he getting the credit? A mitzvah.
Yes,
he
true.
Now let's he only
because at the end of the day, stop thinking emotionally. At the end of the day, he brought a Jewish child who is mitiches. Let me ask you a question. When the father dies, yeah, there are legitimate, there's regular children of this father and this mamzer. Does the mamzer take a portion of his father's estate or not? Yeah, he does, just like any of the other kids. What if the mamzer is the bechor of the father? What's the halacha? He gets a double portion too. What is that showing you about this mamzer? That he's severely limited about who he can marry, but...
But again,
he's a child!
Again, the question is, we could reward the kid because it's not his fault.
We're not rewarding any kid.
Not reward, but we'll give the kid the normal life. But the father is still getting the mitzvah. That's my issue. I'm sorry.
It's BDM. Yeah,
well, like
the father gets
that's what he's. That's what the rabbi said.
Yes, because he's a
that's
child.
He's legit. He's
illegitimate in terms.
BDM. Are you sorry?
He gets credit.
Are you? If you know of a mamzer, okay. So I just wanted to first confirm. A woman who's married,
mm-hmm.
sleeps with another man, whether
mm-hmm.
Jew or non-Jew,
mm-hmm.
and the woman has a child. That mm-hmm. child's a mamzer, right?
That's assuming that you know for sure that the child was formed from that union.
Right.
But in general, the Gemara says that even if a woman, a married woman, it's halacha in Shulchan Aruch as well, in Siman Dalit and Ibn Isa, Saif Tetvav, the halacha is that even if a married woman has relations with any other man besides for her husband, it goes without saying that she becomes asur to her husband. That's called zinut. Zona is asura leba'ala. Huh? What forgiveness? No forgiveness, no nothing. They're asur to each other forever. Now, the question is, what happens if she's pregnant? Now, what's the status of the child? The Gemara says, and the Shulchan Aruch brings it down, the status of the child is kasher. The child is kasher and it's considered a child of the husband. Why? Because there is a chazakah. There's a rov. Rov dictates, rov be'ilot halech achar haba'al. That even though she did this thing that was terribly wrong, but when we have to know what the kid's from. Chachamim said, go by rov be'ilot. A majority of the unions were with the husband. So we can safely assume that the child belongs to the husband. Unless... One second. Time out. Says the Gemara, yes, well, nachon, not a mamzer, but she's still a surah about it. Now, the Gemara says, unless she's something that's called perutza biyoter, unless she is extremely promiscuous, in which case, the majority of the be'ilot, the majority of the intercourses, do not belong to the husband anymore. They belong to the other guy, in which case, we... can't assume anything.
Malka is very rare. Malka is so rare that it's actually not such a, like he said before, how do we know who's who?
Let's say
mamzerut is not only from Eshet Ish. Mamzerut is from any of the Chayavik Ritut and above. Yeah. So again, it's pretty rare. You know what I'm saying? It's incestuous. You know, but that's yeah.
If you do know for, I mean, I don't want to say.
How do you know? How do you know?
Okay, let's say
how do you know?
The Torah tells us how to know and how not to know. DNA test, right? Vadai says the Torah DNA tests are trash. Why? According to the Torah, there's a Tshuvan Yabi Omer where he speaks about how to look at DNA tests. Why? Because if Be'emet, let's say you have a situation where, now, it's a very, totally, totally different topic. How to view DNA and paternity tests according to Halacha. But DNA tests are not something that halachically, according to Torah law, make decisions. They can be mitzuraf. We add them to other considerations. But if, let's say, halacha says, we know that it was a one-time thing. Okay, let's say it was a one-time thing. We know. Or there's edim, or whatever it is. And halacha dictates that rov be'ilot were after the baal, and the valad is kasher. And then we do a paternity test on the child, and we find that it's from the no'if. We find, nevertheless, the child is kasher lefi halacha.
How about if you have a white Anglo woman, and her husband is white Anglo, and then She does get through with a black person.
Yeah.
The baby's going to come out half black. Not white. It's not
going to
come out
white.
Okay. So then you don't
need to do a... There's no such thing as... It doesn't exist anymore. No, there's no black and white. There's only, clear. Only clear. No colors. Rabotai, it's very... That's also not a halachic consideration. I'll tell you why. Because there have been things the Gemara speaks about. Certain times where women who have gotten pregnant from their husbands, and because they were looking or thinking or exposed to certain things and certain colors and whatever, and the child comes out being domet to those things. So the fact that a child has a certain skin tone doesn't necessarily tell you one way or another.
So what about if she hasn't been with me in 9 years?
That's Gemara. Yafeh. The Gemara says... That's another thing. Let's say the husband was in jail or away and whatever. There are certain considerations. Do we are we choshesh that perhaps the husband could have come home in the interim through Shem Kadosh? The Gemara talks about it. Yeah, it's a Gemara Yivamot. Yeah, it's lo pashut. There's a lot of halachic literature on these points.
If the wife goes and sleeps with someone else, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then now she's forbidden to her husband.
Mm-hmm.
If the husband sleeps with the wife again, mm-hmm. is that a mamzer?
No. Because that's the fact that a wife becomes asur to her husband as a zona, that's only isur lav. That's not a karet. Isur lav does not create mamzerim. According to Rabbi Akiva, it does. But we don't hold like Rabbi Akiva, we hold like the Chachamim and Shimon HaTimni, that only karet and above creates mamzerim. Verstehst?
Yeah, and then I was listening to Rabbi Akiva Tatz. Rabbi Akiva Tatz was saying that like in Israel, probably in other places,
mm-hmm.
one out of every six children is born out of
IVF.
IVF.
Okay.
Right. So he said there's someone that could be going around to, you know, every single one of these donor
banks,
yeah, and stuff like that, donor banks, and they could have several kids and so on and so forth, and by he was saying that they just changed something though recently.
That's why it's so important. That's a very, very legitimate concern. And that's why it's so important, even for couples who are struggling and they go for all sorts of treatments, that the treatment is done under the auspices of professionals, both in medicine and in halakha, to make sure everything is lefi halakha, because that is a very, very legitimate concern, which is another thing that I was about to bring up, a very interesting shaila. For those who are struggling, and some couples can only conceive through IVF, IUF, which are different, we'll call it artificial means of getting pregnant. Artificial means anything but the normal method of ben ish leishto. The question is, if a person does that, and let's say we're not talking about chas v'shalom, a situation where you take it from a donor. Let's say it's mamash from the husband. Husband and wife, it's just done artificially. Is a person yotze pirav rivya with a child who's the product of such artificial insemination or not. It's a very interesting shaila that all the poskim, poskez menenu speak about, Maran Zichron Bracha, Shevet Halevi, many other poskim discuss. Huh?
Why not? We just said that Bia is not the mitzvah, the Rosh is the mitzvah.
Well, that's... But it wasn't done kederech kol ha'aretz. So the many poskim bring a re'aya, a proof as follows. The Cham and Bash bring a she'ela in the beginning of Ibn Aiza Siman Aleph. They speak about, they say, if a woman is impregnated through an ambati, which means a person, again, it's people have told me that it's medically impossible or scientifically impossible. I researched it. That's wrong. It's scientifically highly improbable, but it's not scientifically impossible for a woman to get pregnant by going into a bathtub or a pool where there is semen. Again, highly, highly improbable, but possible. So much so, the Midrash brings down that Yirmiyahu HaNavi had a son from such a Ben Sira. From Ben Sira, is Begimetria Yirmiyahu, there was such a situation where, without getting into the whole backstory, but Yirmiyahu HaNavi had such a child. Now, the question is, if such a child is conceived, whether or not the husband, the owner, not cheated.
Yeah,
no, not talking about cheated. Is the father of this child, is he yotze? They talk about, is he yotze mitzvah pirav rivya with such a child? Through a woman?
Huh? Oh. No, it's not that.
Time out. Hold on, hold your horses. So, the Cham, the Chelkat Mechokek, which is the Cham and the Bash, Chelkat Mechokek and Bet Shmuel, are the foremost commentators on Shulchan Aruch Ibn Aizah. The Cham asks this question and leaves it open-ended. He doesn't give a definite answer. The Bash, Bet Shmuel, does give a definite answer. And he says, I'll bring Re'aya, that he's Yotze. Why? He says, there is a Bach, Bait Chadash, Rabbi Yoel Sirkish, in Yored De'a Siman Kuf Tzadihe, that says as follows. He writes, there's a, the Bach quotes the Samak, Sefer Mitzvot Katan, Rabbi Yitzchak Mekorbil, who says that it is a woman should not sleep on a random man's sheets, obviously without it having been washed first, because otherwise you can't go to hotels, you can't be a guest. Meaning, a woman should always make sure that when she sleeps on any bed that is not hers, to make sure, or hers or husband's, that the sheets are washed first, for fear that chas v'shalom, let's say there was some zera left on the bed, and then she can become pregnant for that, says this, and what's the problem with that? Lest she become pregnant for that, and she doesn't know that it's not from her husband, and then she'll have a child from that, and as a result, nimtza ach noset achoto. Yeah, let's say she has a girl or a boy from that incident. Again, highly unlikely, but you see from the poskim that it's possible. And then later on, that boy or girl will, you know, meet somebody else, and unbeknownst to them, it might actually halachically be their brother or sister. Now, two things to point out. The Bash makes two diukim from this. First of all, the Bash says, what do we see from here? If a woman became pregnant from that and she's an ishet ish, is that considered, first of all, is that child considered a mamzer or not?
No.
Why?
No.
So the Bach says, we see from here, number one, that the child is 100% kasher and not a mamzer, even though the child was conceived not from the husband, but since there was no bi'a asura, the Torah gives a formula for mamzerut that it has to be through bi'a asura. Since there was no bi'a asura over here, huh? Bi'a is intercourse. Huh? One time, I'm coming. So first of all, the child is not a mamzer. That's number one. But says the Bash, says the Bet Shmuel, from the fact that the Bach and the Samak say, one second, why should we be careful? Because if not, you'll have a brother marrying a sister. If we consider them relatives enough to consider them brother and sister in terms of halacha, then we should also consider it a child enough that what? A child enough of this, of the father, to be considered pirav rivya. A mute, baba. Now he says, now, how do you say mute in Persian?
A mute.
A mute, yeah. Anyway.
It's mute.